So welcome to the next episode of the Gold Dust Career Insight Series. This time I'm joined by Lynn Walker, who is the Deputy Head of Business Advisory at Johnson Carmichael. Thanks very much for taking the time
to
join us today, Lynn. To start us off, Lynn, do you want to tell me about your background? How did you get into the profession in the first place?
Yeah, for me it was quite easy. I enjoyed numbers, very cliche, but I did. I did accountancy at school. So I went off to university and coming into the final year, it was starting to think, well, what's next? And for me, the CA qualification stood out. I then started to interview at a number of firms, Big Four, mid-tier, and I joined a Big Four, did my traineeship with them and qualified in 2005.
And what pulled you towards a Big Four then? What was the...
I don't think it was necessarily a pull to Big Four. I remember going to a career evening as part of the interview process and meeting employees that worked at the firm and just thinking these guys were really passionate about the firm, what they were doing. Yeah. And I was just driven to then say, you know what, this is somewhere I want to work. And it happened to be a Big Four as well.
So you qualified in 2005. Yeah. Where has your career taken you since then?
Oh, beyond what I could probably have expected, to be honest. In 2005, after qualifying, I was working in the northeast of Scotland in Aberdeen, and I realised I actually wanted to move back to my roots, where my family was from. So at that point, I was seeking positions up in the Highlands in Inverness. Okay. So I joined Johnson Carmichael. They had a growing office, and Inverness was thriving, as it still is. My career to date had predominantly been within audit, so I took an audit senior position. And for the first few years post-qualification, that's where my career was. And in audit, it is very structured.
Okay.
So it was from an audit senior, assistant manager, manager. And my career even now is still within audit in some respects. I am a responsible individual sending off audit reports for a number of clients.
Okay.
I've still kept to my roots of where my experience began. But over time, I realised that I really enjoyed people management.
Okay.
I enjoyed working with people. I enjoyed developing their skills, motivating them and inspiring them to be better and do better.
Yep.
So I started to line manage more teams. And having been very successful in audit, getting to an audit director position in 2014, last year I was offered the opportunity to diversify my role out with audit into business advisory.
Okay.
So I am now, as you say, the deputy head of business advisory for the firm, which is looking after a business line with about 150 people within it.
And what's been the biggest challenges for you then? Is it a big difference going from working with an audit to working in business advisory? Or?
Absolutely, and I think within audit with smaller teams, you were very focused on clients. This new role is focusing on the firm, the strategy, what we need to do to keep up with changes in legislation, accounting standards, but also moving forward as we enter into a more digital age, and what should I be doing within the business line to keep up with all of that? And obviously with, you know, 150 people within the business line, with 700 people across the whole firm, there's a lot of people with conflicting demands on your time as well. So that can be quite a challenge.
Absolutely. And we spoke about it very briefly before, around the challenges within the industry moving forward. What do you feel are going to be the biggest challenges to the industry over the next 5-10 years?
I think there's been a lot of challenges even recently, with legislation, with new accounting standards. For myself, I think this move towards making tax digital that's been introduced, it's obviously the way forward, becoming more digital, but it's making sure the firm's keeping up with those changes and we're ready both internally and with our clients as well. And that will be a challenge that we all face.
Absolutely. So Lynn, you've covered off there quite a lot of the challenges that are going to be facing not just the firm, but the industry as a whole going forward. Do you feel that discussing with other individuals within the industry from rival firms is something that's going to be key to helping you overcome those challenges?
Oh, absolutely. I think we have to maintain a close relationship with the profession, the institute, other firms, colleagues. Networking is of huge importance to your career development as well.
You mentioned that networking is clearly important to your career development. Is that something that's always been the case throughout your career then?
Yes, absolutely. I think I identified early on that if you want to increase your profile, then the best way to go about that is through networking and attending events. I've always found that I've tried to seek out events, speak to others, put my name forward. It helps build your confidence as well.
Yep.
I never used to enjoy networking. a top tip for me would get involved as young as you possibly can in your careers. The expectations will be lower.
Yep.
Ask to be coached to go along and and shadow somebody if need be, just stand there and observe. Networking can be difficult, but there'll be others in the same position as you actually are as well. So seek out those individuals that you can see or maybe standing by themselves if you're not sure. Go over and approach them. Start off a conversation. Don't arrive too early so you're the only person there, but equally don't arrive too late on so everybody else has already formed their groups. Yeah. Another tip for me was practicing an introduction. So I always thought, how do I introduce myself to others? And I don't necessarily come across in the wrong way. So I've learned that rather than saying, hi, I'm an accountant, it's, hi, I work in the financial services sector. Yeah. I help build strong relationships with clients, so I become their trusted advisor. And it just opens it up. Yeah. Inadvertently, I'm an accountant. No, but there's a lot more to that.
Brilliant. It's interesting. And you mentioned at the start there about people forming forming groups. But I'm assuming as well that at some of these networking events within the industry, you can also form potential business relationships which take you throughout the rest of your career as well. Yeah. Has that happened to you? Is there individuals that you met early on in your career that you're still in touch with now that you rely on for help and support? Or?
Absolutely. I think it builds up connections, potentially into industries and clients as well. There's individuals I've met previously at, for instance, dinner engagements. Yep. That have been working in the profession the same as me, but they've now left the profession, practice, they've moved into industry, yep. And that's a potential client target. So you maintain that relationship because who knows in the future, you might be able to help them with a certain service.
Lynn, you touched on before that your business line is made up of 150 individuals. What would you say the characteristics are of a good leader within that environment?
For me, a good leader is somebody that has passion about what they're doing, and people can see that. So it's somebody that has passion about the firm or the company that they work for, the people around them, wanting to do better, a drive to do the right thing at all times as well. So the passion has to be there. Equally, in a leader, you're looking for someone to be decisive. So you're turning to individuals and actually saying, well, help me with this, or what should I do? A leader's got to be somebody that tries to encourage others to develop as well, though. Yeah. So you have to have collaboration, but you have to know as a leader when it's your turn to make that decision. And you have to be able to stand by it, but have that authority to then make others come along with you when you've made it.
We talked about how leadership is important within firms. And so what role do you feel that firms have to develop leaders within the industry?
Yeah, a very crucial role. What we're developing here is CAs. With that, the public has a certain perception as well. As well as having that technical ability, we have to also drive the personal qualities in our leaders. It's looking at developing individuals, building up their confidence, their confidence in negotiating, in delegating tasks. Equally, it's about identifying when individuals need a bit more support. So looking at maybe within our own firm, implementing mentoring schemes, where we can identify those individuals that we really do think are key to the future of the business and helping them along that way.
Brilliant. And you yourself were part of a mentoring scheme, I'm led to believe. I don't know if you want to tell us a bit more about that.
Yep, no, I was involved in a formal mentoring scheme within my workplace just over the past 5 years. And I believe that was a huge benefit to me to get me into the position that I'm in now. The individual that was mentoring me was somebody that I could just go to in confidence and talk to them about issues that were maybe challenging me or concerning me. Okay. And to seek that guidance from somebody I really trusted in what should be the next step in my career or how I go about getting to that next step in my career. Right. And really from that, I was told to put myself forward, to speak out where I actually felt I should be going for a certain role, mm-hmm. and to make sure I was noticed for it.
So it's had a profound impact on your career then, by the sounds of it?
Absolutely. Yeah. I feel as well that being part of the scheme actually pushed me forward to do better. Yeah. It meant the firm recognised that actually I was obviously somebody that they wanted to see do well in the future. So part of just being part of the scheme itself helped push me in the right direction.
Lynn, you're quite clearly someone who's passionate about developing the CEs of tomorrow. What advice would you give to them?
I think it's to remember to always do the right thing. Part of the qualification means that we are meant to always behave with integrity and to have that ethical awareness at all times. So for me, even when I may be informally mentoring somebody, it's to be able to help them through certain situations. It's to be able to speak up and not be worried about saying to somebody, no, I don't think this is right. There must be another way of doing it. It's looking for solutions. Yep. I think you'll gain respect if you're able to say to somebody, this doesn't feel the right thing to do.
So Lynn, as the number of individuals coming into the industry continues to grow, what do you look for in newly qualified CAs?
I think the technical aspect is given. You've obviously gone through your exams, you've done your studies, so we know that you've got an element of technical experience behind you. It's about the personal qualities, so what you're bringing to the table in terms of your confidence, your passion about the profession, or passion about client service. We want to see people that are team players. Success won't be driven by one person on their own, it's driven by a team of people. If a firm's successful, it's because the team of people below it are successful. So somebody that's interested in team playing, that'll acknowledge the people at all levels round about them and work well with them. You need to be able to stand out if you're newly qualified, because there's a lot of individuals out there, and others will be going for the same role as you. So think about what your strengths are and play to them. So a bit like with myself and my career to date, but I've realised that I really enjoy the people side of what I do in the people management. And I've probably played on that more recently away from the technical side to get into the role that I'm in.
So we spoke about the qualities you look for in a newly qualified CA, but what advice can you give to these individuals when they're going for these first interviews?
Actually coming for an interview. For me, remember that first impressions count the minute you enter that building. So from that receptionist right the way through to meeting the person that's interviewing you, put on that good impression. Speak to the receptionist, because they'll be relaying it back to the interviewer.
Yeah.
Don't turn up too early. The person interviewing you will have other things in their diary. So that 10 minutes before is absolutely fine. Calm yourself down. We expect you to be nervous. If somebody's not nervous, it's a bit of a worry. So confidence is good, but not overconfidence. And try and come across as natural as you can in an interview. We want to get to know your character. We can see on your CV what your grades are, what your qualifications are, what other past employment experience you might have. It's the gaps, what we can't see on the CV, that we really want to understand. We want to get to know the individual. It's not wrong to say, I need a couple of minutes. Can you just give me some time to gather my thoughts? If you need some more water, ask for some more water. We want it to be more a conversation than we do this firing of questions back and forth. And for me, the people that stand out are those that make the effort post-interview as well.
Okay.
So people that maybe they'll ask for a business card. Yeah. And then an hour after the interview, they're emailing me to thank me for my time. They're standing out, and I'm probably still interviewing somebody else, but I'll remember their name when I get back to my desk.
Lynn, it's been great to meet you today. Thank you very much for taking the time to come along and share your story. If you could go back to when you first qualified as a CA, what advice would you give yourself then?
I think it's remembering that it's not a big competition and there doesn't need to be a set time frame to achieve things. A lot of newly qualifieds can think that they're fighting to get to that next stage along with other newly qualifieds, but we've all got our own strengths and we have to just play to those. There'll be roles out there for everybody. There'll be different opportunities. It's identifying where your strengths lie so that you can say, that one's for me, but let that other person that's newly qualified go off in a different direction. So I think some of the advice I would have given to myself is that you don't have to be so fast to see your career progress. It can be at a slower pace, but you will still get there. Looking back as well, I think I was one of these individuals that felt if I was asked to do a task, I would say yes to it. Yep. And then you'd have a number of people asking you to do something, and before you knew it, you suddenly had 10 tasks to do within the same time frame. That's great. You might feel that you get noticed, but only if you can deliver on all those tasks. And there's a real danger, particularly at the newly qualified level, that you suddenly overpromise, underdeliver, and that causes more problems for others in the firm. So if you are finding that you've got conflicting demands on your time, deadlines that you might not be able to make, instead of working till midnight, it's actually shout out about it, ask your manager for help. They'd much rather that. And there will always be other people on the team that can help you out.
Thanks for coming along and sharing your story with us today.
No, thank you for giving me the opportunity to come along and speak.
Thanks for watching. If you've enjoyed this episode today, please do like and share across social media. And we look forward to bringing another guest to you on our next episode.